find the reading in the book of Matthew, chapter 5. Verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith it shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but he cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. 10 through 16 of the 5th chapter of the book of Matthew. May we pray. Dear God, our Father, we are conscious of the need of thy help today, and we pray, O God, that thy Spirit shall come in and take control of the service. We know that we cannot do anything without you. And we know that satanic forces will try to take over. So we pray that you'll drive back all the forces of evil. Let thy blessed Holy Spirit move amongst us to do the work that he wants to do with us. Now, Father, we pray this morning that you'll take thy servant and loose his tongue and illuminate his mind and give us holy unction. Grant that this service to be what you want it to be. Bless this church. Bless the pastor. Bless this school and bless its leaders. Our Father, we pray that when we turn out of these, between these four walls today, we'll turn out conscious that you've said something to us. And we'll be grateful to you for it. And we come in Jesus' name asking you to help us. Amen. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick and give a light to all that are in the house. Ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine that others may see your good work and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Jesus is the light of the world. He went back to glory to prepare a place for us. He turns and said, now ye are the light of the world. Let your light shine. And so we are the representative light of a world that's lost and in darkness. and confused. He didn't leave any of the light. We are the light. We are the light of the world. Let it shine. He didn't leave any other light for people to see other than Christ in me and in you. And if the lost world don't see Christ in us, then they're not going to see Christ. So as a result, we're responsible to let the light shine. He tells us over in the book of John, said John the Baptist was a bright and shining light. He was a bright and shining light. People saw Christ through John the Baptist. He was the light whereby people found their way out of darkness unto God. We're to be the lights now. And we must realize that. I said that we were to be shining lights. He didn't say burning lights, but shining lights. We're conscious that a light can't be shining until it's burning. So the first thing that must take place is that we must be born again. We must get the light of God in us before we can be light. I want to show you in a way of an illustration what we're talking about. Now that lamp won't burn unless it's lighted. And so as a result, in order for it to burn, it must be lighted. I remember back when I was a lad of a boy, we didn't have much of this world's goods. We were poor people. And we'd go to town and get an old stone gallon jug. It had a corn stopper in it. I can see it. It was a brown jug with a big old white wart on the side of it. Stone jug. And we'd take eggs and go to town and swap it for what we call then coal oil. It's kerosene now. We called it coal oil lamp. And we'd fill the bowl of a lamp full of that coal oil or kerosene. And that was our life. But it didn't come on when night comes. A lot of these automatic electric lights, when darkness comes, they come on. But it didn't. The lamp had to be lighted. The fire had to touch the wick and light it. And I remember my mother, at the close of a day, when everything else was done before she'd go to bed, sitting around the open fireplace, she'd take some old scrap pieces of paper and roll them up between her fingers and make a number of them and call it lamp lighters. And she'd take all of that and she'd make a great big bunch of them and put them in what we called a vase then, on what we call the farboard. They call it a mantle now and call it a vase. Well, we called it a vase on the farboard. And when the evening shadows had come, and again to get dark where we couldn't see how to move around, she'd go over to the open fireplace and catch that lamp lighter with fire, and then come and light the lamp. And that'd break away the darkness in the home. We could see how to read. We could see how to study. We could see how to get around. But it had to be lit or lighted before it would burn. So as a result, my friends, before you can be a shining light for God, first of all, you've got to be lit. You've got to be born again. You've got to be quickened, or you cannot be a shining light. You just don't automatically start shining. That lamp had to be lighted. The fire had to touch the wick and catch the fire before it burned. And before you can be a burning and shining light like John was, first of all, the living spirit of God's going to have to touch your dead spirit and quicken it. And then when the living spirit of God touches your dead spirit and quickens it, you can become a burning light. Now, the thing I want you to recognize is, he didn't say, let your light so burn. He's insinuating that you've already been touched and quickened and made alive. So he's saying, let your light shine. What? That those who are in the dark may see their way home to God. Now, as he goes ahead, he makes some profound statements. John was a burning and a shining light. We've got a lot of Baptists that are burning, but they're not shining. Is your light shining? Or are you just a burning? Now he said, men don't light a candle and put it under a bushel. They light a candle and put it on the candlestick that it may give light to the whole household. They don't put it under a bushel when they light it. It'd be no advantage. But when they get the candle lit, they put it in the candlestick that it may give light to the whole household. Now what is that? That's lighting your candle and putting it under your business. We got a lot of Christians that claim to be Christian, but they're so busy with their business, they don't have time to let the light shine. And a matter of fact, some of their businesses is sort of shady. And they don't want to lie on, because a lot of people see how shady their business is. So automatically, a lot of folks are hiding the light under their business. A lot of folks say, well, I'm just so busy, I don't have time to serve God. Who's going to believe your lie? I'm not. If a man lives to be 60 years old, he sleeps 8 hours a day, he'll sleep 20 years of the 60. If he eats 3 meals a day, using 30 minutes for each meal, he'll eat 4 years of the 60. If he starts to work when he's 20 years old, works 40 hours a week without missing a single hour, he will work 9.5 years of the 60. If he goes to Sunday school, preaching, training union, and preaching, and Wednesday night prayer meeting, he'll spend only 1.5 years in the church. From the day he's born until his 60th birthday, if he doesn't miss a single Sunday, morning, night, training union, preaching, Sunday school preaching, Wednesday night, if he doesn't miss a single time in the 60 years, he'll spend 1.5 years in the church. Add all of this up. And my friends, he's slept 20 years, he's eat 4 years, he's worked 9.5 years, he's gone to church 1.5 years, add all of this up, and he's lived only 35 of these 60 years. So he has 25 years without anything to do. Now quit lying. Close your eye when you say, I don't have time. Oh, I'm just so busy. I don't have time. That ain't so. That's your alibi. That's your excuse, and that's your lie. If your business has got you so busy you don't have time to serve God, you better get rid of some of it. Over in Texas, when they had the centennial celebration, they worked for months to make a bell, a big bell, to ring at the centennial. And when they got it made, it was so big they couldn't ring. I'd rather be a little bell and do what I was made to do than to be some nigger couldn't even do what I was supposed to do. And when your business gets so big you can't honor God with your life and serve God with your life, it's too big. And you need to trim that, some of it off and find time to serve God. He said, will a man light a candle and put it under the bed No! He puts it in the candlestick that it might give light to the household. What's putting a candle under the bed? It's just pure unadulterated laziness. Too lazy to get up and go to church. Too lazy to stay out of bed long enough to go to a prayer meeting on Wednesday night. Just plain unadulterated laziness. Just laying up in the bed when the meeting's going on at the house of God. Just too lazy to get out and go. You're willing to go to work. You're willing to go to pleasure. It's no problem you to get up and go on your pleasure trips. Picnics, family reunions, birthday dinners. So no problem there. But you're just so busy and so lazy that you won't get out of bed to serve God and stay out of bed long enough at night to serve God. And as a result of hiding the light of your soul, then he said, will a man light a candle and put it under a vessel? No, he doesn't put it under a vessel. He puts it out where the whole household can see it. What is lighting a candle and putting it under the vessel? That's folks tending to the things at the home instead of going to worship God. Well, preacher, I've been church Sunday, but I'm just so busy. Had to clean house and had company coming. I had to cook. Nobody saw your light. You stayed in the house and cooking with it. You didn't get out on the street. You didn't go to church. Nobody saw your light. You had it hid on the duties of household. You say, well, preacher, a bunch of folks come in and I just had to stay home and cook. No, you didn't. You know the reason a bunch of you dear women have to stay home on Sunday and burn yourself up over cook stove fixing? Is because you give them all kind of good things to eat, chicken and cakes and pies. And they're just like old stray dogs. You feed an old stray dog good at your back door and he'd come back a barking for more. You feed an old stray cat good at your back door and he'd come back now and for more. And you fill up a bunch of old hungry stomachs, and they'll go all the week, won't hardly eat anything, come back to your house to fill up next time. You don't have to feed them. Give them some sour peas and cornbread, and they won't be back next Sunday. That'll break them. Let your light shine. You don't have to spend your life filling up a bunch of old traffic going around people's houses being fed. Let your light shine. Get out of that house and go to God. You say, well, now, preacher, they didn't come prepared to go to church. Well, you tell them to stay there and you get back, you're going, and the next time they come to your house, wear something besides your pajamas and gowns on Sunday. And they'll find out your light's a sign. Let me illustrate what I'm trying to say. Years ago, when Mike Connor was governor of the state of Mississippi, I was pastor up at Pittsburgh, Mississippi. Had an old gentleman, easy to call and pray in church, and it scared him to death. He never said a word in church. He couldn't sing. He wouldn't testify. But every time the doors was open, he is there. He had a tremendous quiet influence that the politicians respected. One day, Governor Mike Connor, one Sunday, Mike Connor come up to visit him. And about the time Mike got in and sat down, the church bell rang. This old fellow's wife's name was Ada. He said, Ada, have you got the children ready for Sunday school? She said, yes, Will. Said, then, get him in the car. Turn around and said, Mr. Connor, Governor Connor, would you like to go to church with us? He said, I didn't come dressed and prepared to go out to church. He said, Well, it's Sunday school time, we're going. Said, are you the superintendent of the Sunday school? Said, no. Said, are you a teacher? Said, no. I'm just a pupil. Said, well, couldn't you send your wife and the children on and stay here and talk to me? Said, yes, sir, I sure could, but I ain't gonna do it. Said, why? He said, I wouldn't want my children and my church to find out that I thought more of my corner than I did my church and the Lord. And said, Mr. Corner, if you don't want to go to church, you just stay here till we get back or go back to Jackson. And next time you come to my house on the Lord's Day, dress up ready to go. And he walked out. Now you say, that's fanaticism. No, it ain't. Mike Corner never forgot the light he saw in that man. That's the light Jesus is talking about. He didn't run around and hide it because the governor was there. He let the governor see it. And a lot of us try to be intimidated by certain people and put our lights under the vessel. Friend, listen. Let your light shine. Governors, kings, queens, or whatnot. Everybody needs to see the light. Then said, will a man light a candle and put it under a vessel? Will a man light a candle and put it in the cellar? What do you usually put stuff in the cellar for? But I tell you what I used to put it in there for. I didn't want the Lord to find out. And I didn't want my friends to see some things I had in the cellar. You usually put the stuff in the cellar you don't want folks to see. And in fact, you're putting it down in the cellar. You just putting it away where folks won't see it. It's a bunch of old junk and stuff you don't want them to see. So he said, will a man light a candle and put it in the cellar? What does that mean? Just pure ashamed of being a Christian. Are you ashamed for folks to find out you're saved? Are you ashamed that folks will find out that you're living a Christian life? I remember back during the war, when the car, you couldn't get gasoline and tires to drive. I was going to California for a meeting. I've never forgotten experience. On the train, there sat across the aisle a little blue-eyed young fella, clean, dressed in the uniform of our nation. Looked so neat and clean and innocent. And three or four old drunks come staggering in. Dropped down on the seat, inside of him and in front of him. And they set out to make that boy take a drink with him. He wouldn't drink. And they insisted. And finally one of them said, let's pour it down. He said, no, you won't pour it down. And he let them know right quick they wasn't pouring none on me. And I just thought, he's a young fella. If they try it, I'm going to join his hip. And so they turned and said, ha, your mama's boy, aren't you? Ha, still tied to your mama's ears. Said a lot of slurring things. Finally, he said, I've got all I want to hear out of you. If you don't leave me alone, I'll call the military police. They staggered off. Now I thought, who are you so brave a young fella? Reached up on the rack, pulled down a little zipper bag and zipped it open. And took his New Testament and opened it up and began to read. And tears went off his cheeks. I heard him say, thank you, Lord, for helping me stand. He let his light shine. Unafraid. Unashamed. I was coming out of Atlanta, Georgia during that same period of time. And the train was crowded. And you couldn't move. If you got a seat, all the seats was taken up. The dear precious mother with some precious little children sit down right on next to me across the aisle. And an old blabbermouth cussing reprobate sit down right behind him. And he's a cussing and telling a bunch of bogus stuff that dogs should be here. And the little woman turned around and said, "Mister, would you keep quiet? I hate for my little children to have to listen to such a bogus talk. If I could move, I would, but there's no other seat I can get to." And he blurted out some smart remark and slurred that woman and her children. And I got up. I said, "You shut up right now." He said, "Who are you, a preacher?" I said, "None of your business, but I'm fixing to take my fist and seal those dirty lips." I said, "You're not going to disgrace this mother and her children. We need some people who stand up for God." And he said, "Oh, I'm sorry." I said, "Then keep her shut. Let your light shine. Don't be ashamed to tell folks you're a Christian. The reason they laugh at you is because you're showing them up. Don't ever let anybody intimidate you about being a Christian. Don't let anybody embarrass you about being a Christian. Turn your light on. Men whose deeds are evil will not come to light lest their deeds be made manifest." And you know the reason they try to turn you Christians off? Their deeds are evil. And they take care on the evil work around you. And so if they can get your light turned off, they're in the dark and they breed more evil. Let your light shine. The evil crowd can't stand it. You go out here and kick a board over. It's got a lot of worms and bugs on it that's used to the dark. And when that light, at you kick that board over, they see the light, they scram for the dark. Let your light so shine that it will make the devil's crowd scram for the dark. Your deeds are righteous. You'll bring them to light that they may be seen. And if your life is such that you're ashamed of it, your life is such that you get mad because Christians let their light shine on you, it's because you're living a dirty, wicked, shameful life. When your light's right, you don't worry about the light. Matter of fact, you're glad for folks to turn the light on and look at your life if it's right. So if you're ashamed for the light to come on, you're living a shady life, you're in the wrong place. So as we preach it this morning, don't hide the light under your business. Don't hide the light under your bed. Don't hide the light under your vessel. Don't hide the light in the cellar. Put it on the candlestick that it may give light to the whole household. But let it shine. Why? It'll make evil flee. You see? Evil breeds in darkness. Evil works in darkness. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine, and those whose deeds are evil will flee." There ever was a time when we Baptists need to be letting our light shine. It's now. Evil's moving in on us. Wickedness is moving in on us. You know why? Our lights have got dim. And we need, my friends, to do some refueling of our lights. Now I remember something else about that old lamp.
the oil would get low, and the bowl of the lamp, the kerosene. And we'd keep turning the wick up. And it burned bright for a little bit, and then it'd get dim. You see, the wick in there, a piece of cloth in there called the wick, it sucks up the oil, and when there's plenty of oil in there, it don't burn the wick, it just burns the oil. But when the oil would get low, then wasn't nothing burning but that wick. And we'd turn it up, and it'd burn bright a little bit, and then it'd get dim, we'd turn it up. And mother'd come in and say, "You children, you're gonna bust the lamp. Put some oil in it." Not any oil in it. All the oil's gone out. And the light had got so dim, and she'd come in and take the chimney off. Then she'd go back in the side room and take the burner off. Then she'd take that old kerosene jug and pour that bowl full of oil, kerosene. Then she'd screw the wick back on, the burner back on. Then she'd take the lamp lighter and light it, and put the chimney back on, then we'd have light. But it had to be carried back in this. In the old home we lived in, there was a side room, and that was the kitchen. He kept the coal oil jug in there. And we'd sit there in the dark while she'd gone back in the side room. But I'd hear her pull that sobbing thud. And I'd hear that old jug go guggle. Guggle, guggle, guggle. And that meant the lamp was getting filled up. Then she'd come back in and light it, and it burned so bright. Why? Had plenty of oil in it. Now you know the reason a lot of our lights have got dim? We're out of oil. Our oil's running low. We need to go in the closet and stay in there until the Holy Spirit fills us up. Until the guggle of the Holy Spirit fills us up. And when you get full of the Holy Spirit, you get illuminated. You get brighter and brighter. But my friends, a lot of us are in a spiritual low ebb. And our lights are so dim. Nobody can hardly see Christ in it. But listen, when you're bubbling over of the fullness of the Spirit of God, everybody gets around you, they see your light. You're talking about it. You're praising the Lord. So, my friend, it isn't some new experience you need to have. It isn't the tongues you need to have. It isn't the deeper life you need to have. It isn't a new life you need to have. Hey, what you need is get in the side room with God and let Him fill you up with His Holy Spirit, and you've got all the light you'll need. God, help us to see. My friends, our problem before God is not that we need some kind of a new experience of religion. It's not that the church isn't reverent, like a lot of them holler, the church isn't reverent. It's the thing that's wrong is not with the church. The thing that's wrong is with us. We've run out of oil, and we need somebody to take us back in the side room and fill us up. Then we'll start being shining lights. Awful heap of us are mighty dim in our lives. And that's the reason of it. Then there was another experience about it. Sometimes the wick would get one-sided. In other words, when the wick is like that, the smoke would come out right at the peak of the chimney. When the wick is tapered like that piece of paper. You see, it makes the smoke come off the tip. It go out through right through the center of that. But sometimes the wick of that lamp would get lopsided. Like that. And when it did, the smoke wouldn't go out at the top of the lamp chimney. It'd go up the side and smoke that chimney black, and you couldn't see. And mother would come in, "You boy, look at that lamp. You're going to burst that chimney. Turn it down." She'd go over and take that burner top off, and she'd take the scissors and clip it, the high corners off of it, to where the smoke would come out at the top of the chimney. But the chimney was all messed up. And she'd say, "Percy, you take this soft rag and get in and clean that chimney out." I was the youngest, and I had to clean the lamp chimney. Because you see, my hand would go up in there. And I'd get that old black soot all over my knuckles, and mother never would let us have nasty knuckles. Said that we'd catch the itch. And then I'd have to scrub and wash and scrub those knuckles till they get sore, trying to get all that old black out of the wrinkles on my knuckles. And I hated that lamp chimney painting. But my hand would go up in that, and I had to do that. I was so glad when I got big enough my hand wouldn't go in there. And really, to tell you the truth, I got big enough before it really was. Now say, Mama, I'm afraid if I get my hand in there, I get it hung. You have to break that chimney. And I swell that fist so it wouldn't go in. And when she said, "Well, you have grown some and your hand is too big to clean the lamp chimney," I sure was glad of that. Because I never did like to clean lamp chimneys and hit the old shut on me. Neither does the Lord like to have to clean up your dirty lives. Putting His clean hand in your life that shut it up with strong, dirty, filthy things. Now then, when the lamp chimney, when the wick had got lopsided, always smoke the chimney and hinder the light. But when it's clean and it's trimmed right, the smoke goes out and there's no smoking of the chimney. Now listen, a lot of folks have a weakness. That's a smoke in their chimney. Some folks have a weakness for social drinking. Oh, they wouldn't think of getting drunk, but they would take a social drink of beer or liquor or wine. And listen, boys and girls, they're lying. It isn't a social drink. They just like that old slop. They say, "Oh, no, we just take a little social drink with the rest of them." They're lying. You know how I know? If you go to them and say, "Well, if you want to have a social drink, go with me to the drugstore and have a social drink of castor oil," they wouldn't do it. It's not their sociability, it's their devil ability. But some folk have just got a weakness for wanting to sip on the wine bottle, the beer bottle, and guzzle the slop of the devil down. And I want you to know, my friends, it smoked up the globe of the soul. The lost world can't see Christ in a social drinking, beer guzzling church. I don't care where it's at. They can't see Christ in a drinking church member. It's smoked up. Jesus said, "Let your light shine," but it's not shining because that weakness smoked the globe to where they can't see Christ in you. that I know some other Baptists who smoked up. They have a weakness to dance. They just got to run out and dance. Don't make any difference whether it's a school dance or a civic dance or a charity dance or just a honky-tonk dance. It's all the same stuff. Nobody can see Christ in a dancing churchman. A young person some time ago went to the pastor and argued with him there wasn't no harm in her dancing. He said, all right, I'll tell you what I'll do. If you'll witness to that boy next time on the dance hall floor about Christ, then I won't be so hard on you. You promise me you'll witness to him? Yes, I will. Next dance they got in, they danced. And it's almost time for the dance to close down, and she hadn't witnessed it. And he had her hooked up, and they were dancing around, and she sort of relaxed a little. Said, are you a Christian? He said, no. Are you? She said, yes. Said, what in the hell are you doing in here then? That's the way the lost world feels about it. Hey! The lost world can't see Christ in a dancing church. Oh, preacher, I don't dance for the lust. You're a liar. You like to dance so well. I just like to dance. Why don't you get your fence post and dance with it? You see, you ain't got no argument to stand on. Why don't just the women dance by their share? And the men by their share? Oh, Mr. Ray, I can dance. You can't dance the modern dance without lusting. If you can, you better go see a doctor about your abnormality. You're sick. Sin. Sin. And a lost world can't see the light of Christ in a dancing church member. Now some folks have got a weakness of telling dirty, vulgar jokes. And the lost world can't see Christ in dirty jokes. Give you an illustration. Up in Tennessee, everybody had been praying for a certain man in the community. Hadn't been in church in 60 years. Had a godly wife. She'd come to church and weep and pray about him. Having a revival meeting. Had an unusual preacher. Whole country's turning out to hear a great meeting. This old man slipped in on the back seat one night. It shook the community. Everybody was shocked that he'd come to church. Nobody dared to say anything, and the next night he came and came about halfway down the aisle to sit down. Everybody's so thrilled, and nobody thought of anything but good about him. Afraid to say anything, hoping he'd come back. That night when he got home, he told his wife, said, honey, I'm going to go back to church in the morning to the morning service. And if I feel like I did tonight, I'm going to go up there and let that preacher pray for me. The poor old soul couldn't hardly sleep for rejoicing that night. Next morning, he came in the wagon, hitched his two mules out there to the tree, got out of his wagon, helped his wife out. She slipped around, got some of the women, went down in the woods to pray. Meantime, some of them had told this evangelist that the preacher, he is the first preacher that this old man had ever come to hear, and he was about to win him. The preacher went out on the front steps of the church and met the old man. He thought, well, I'll warm up to him a little bit. And they friendlily carried on a conversation, and in a moment, the preacher said, I want to tell you, men, one of the funniest things I ever heard in my life. I thought I'd split my sides when I heard. Well, they gathered up closer. He looked over his shoulder. Said, there's not any women close enough to hear this, is there? That old man cursed and said, no, there's not. But if it's too dirty for a woman to hear on the steps of the church, it's too dirty for a preacher. Yeah. You just like the rest of these blank preachers and walked off, went and got his wife, put her in the wagon and went home and lived and died about God. Yeah. What was it? I don't know what the joke was. It might have not been too dirty for a woman to hear, but he branded it as such. And he blew out the lie. He smoked up his lie. The old man couldn't see Christ. We must not tell a joke at the expense of some soul that will go to hell over it. We must not use vulgar language that will make somebody not believe in the Christ we represent. He didn't say, let your light burn. He said, let it shine. Then some other people has got their lives smoked up because they got a weakness for gossip. All time of gossiping. Tongue-tied, empty wagon bed or an empty truck bed with a loose point that rattles the loudest when it goes down the street. And when you hear these folks talking, oh, did you hear so-and-so? Did you hear so-and-so about the preacher? Did you hear so-and-so about our church? Did you hear so-and-so about our big flop, 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 red, red, red? Now listen, an old truck bed or a wagon bed with a loose plank in the rattle when you go down the street. But if you load her down with rock or dirt, it won't rattle. And I'll tell you one thing, folks will find out whether you got anything in your wagon by the way you rattle and flop. And if you're one of these old gossip carriers, you're all time hauling around gossip. Hey, the lost world can't see Christ in you for your filthy tongues. Murmuring. Murmuring tongues. My friend, a lost world can't see Christ in a critical, murmuring, bellyaching church member. If you've got a weakness for murmuring and criticizing and fault finding, you need to get your tongue trimmed. I remember one time up in Tennessee, there's an old boy running whiskey stills, wicked, mean. Nobody could do anything with him. And he sent for me. And I'd prayed with him, cried and talked and prayed and read the scripture. And I just barely got in the service in time to preach. And I dressed hurriedly. When I tied my tie, I never could tie one doing any good. I had the thing hanging way down, blow my belt. I wasn't worried about ties. I was thinking about that old boy. I got him saved and I was so happy. That night I did my best. God caused him to profess Christ and I was happy. One old sister come up and said, Brother Ray, you embarrassed the whole church today. I never was so embarrassed and outdone in my life. I said, what? Said that old necktie. And I looked down, he's hanging away down to my straddle here. I wasn't thinking about necktie. I said, what's that man going to hell? She said, I wish I had a pair of scissors. I'd cut the thing off. I said, I'll get a pan lid and cut it off. You let me cut about 10 inches off and something you got. Said, what? I said, your flapping tongue. Oh, my friends, the world can't see Christ in an old criticizing, fault-finding, tongue-flapping Baptist. That's a lie, sir. He didn't say, let your ignorance and your meanness come out. He said, let your light shine. Other folks have a weakness that smoked up the gloom of their soul honky-tonks and roadhouses and nightclubs. The lost man behind that bar can't see Christ in you who go to those places. The lost girls in there can't see Christ in you when you go and participate in those places. He's put the lie out. They can't see the lie. My friends, I want you to know they can't see the lie. Neither can they see the light in a Christian who'll vote to legalize liquor, beer, or wine. I want to tell you something else, brother, sister. He said, I would men everywhere would lift up holy hands and pray. If you ever take that hand and vote for legalized liquor, beer, or wine, you can't lift a holy hand in the sight of God. You've got a dirty fist on. Don't you ever forget that. You put the light out on some folks. I don't believe any Christian can vote to legalize liquor, beers, or wine without blowing the lights out. Oh, so many people have such a weakness in being dishonest. They put the light out. Give you an illustration. Back up in Kentucky, I was at Gibbonsville, Kentucky, trying to win a man to Christ. Deacon and his wife were concerned because his next door neighbors. Now I went to talk to the man. He had 11 children, lost. And I mentioned the fact that this deacon was interested in him. He said, preacher, he's a skunk. Got no confidence in him. Got no faith in him. But now I said, I tell you, his wife is a real Christian. And said, I know one thing. I know that if there's a Christian living, she is. Well, I said, praise the Lord, you've seen a Christian. And I went by and told the deacon's wife, I said, if that man's ever won, you'll probably be the one to win. She was thrilled about it. She done a lot of praying and tried to be a witness. But 12 months passed and I was back in the same church in, and this man still wasn't saved. And I thought, well, I want to go try him again. Maybe I can get him. I went to his home and found him out in the yard. Told him who I was. He said, yes, I remember you. But said, preacher, forget religion. I don't care nothing about it. Said, I don't know of a Christian anywhere. They're all crooks. I said, what about Mrs. So-and-so, Miss Hamilton? Said, she's the, said, I thought her husband was a dirty rascal. She's old down than he is. I said, what's happened there? Said, well, preacher, here's what happened. She sips cream. She skims cream off the milk and sends it to Louisville. And said, you know, some of them around here fill the can half full of water. Water's heavier than cream. Then put the other half on the top of cream and cream floats. And when it gets to the plant, they go around, stick those little dippers down in there and dip up some of it and test it and pay them according to the test. And said, of course, they never get deep enough to hit the water. If they do, when they fill it up, the cream pushes the water out. And said, a lot of them around here is filling cans half full of water and selling water for cream. And said, she was too, nobody didn't know it, but said, she is so ignorant, she didn't have sense enough. Said, the rest of them, when it gets cold weather, water starts freezing in the can, they always quit. But said, she didn't have that much sense. She shipped a can, and the water froze, and when the testing man stuck his tester down in there, he hit that ice. And said, the can is half full of ice, the rest of it cream. Said, you see that old woman? That's Christianity for you. She's keeping that cream company and selling them water for cream. Said, is that Christianity? If it is, I don't want it. Blow this light out. Couldn't see Christ for seeing the crookedness of that woman that's supposed to be the leader in the church. Weakness to gain a little extra money. Listen to me, my friends. Weakness. I think one of the most shocking experiences I've met up with. A young man had committed a terrible crime. Out of seemingly a wonderful, nice family. And they got him up in court and found him guilty. Proved him guilty. Sent him to the penitentiary. It so broke up his mother that she had to go to bed. She just had a nervous breakdown all over it because her son had turned out so bad so quick. And she's in the bed not even able to get up to see the boy when he goes to leave. And the law brings him by to tell his mama who's sick in the bed goodbye. They had him handcuffed. Three officers with their guns and clubs around him marched him in, stooped over and kissed his mother goodbye. Stood up, said, I'm ready to go. The father walked up and I shall never forget and laid his hand on his shoulder, looked him straight in the eye. Said, my God, son, how could you afford to do this to your mother and me? Jacked his shoulders out and stepped back. Said, old man, take your dirty hands off of me. Said, you remember when you carried the hogs to town, to the market, and I was in the spring seat in the wagon? You waved me in the hogs. Then when you went to unload the hogs, you said, son, you can get out there and play in the sand pile. And I got out in the white sandbar and played in the sand till you got the hogs unloaded. You come back and drove on the scales to weigh in the wagon. I said, Dad, I was in the wagon when you weighed the hog. He said, never mind, son. They don't remember it. And said, you pulled that wagon on and sold me for the price of hogs. My weight went in, and you sold me for the price of a hog. Keep your dirty hands off of me, old man. Or was it? He put the light out. For the greediness of getting a little extra money for his hog, he sold his boy. Hey, what are you selling your sons for? What are you selling your daughters for? Weaknesses smoke up the globe to where they can't see. How many folks are in the dark today going to hell? Because the globe smoked up with some weakness in us. What about it? Can they see Christ in you? Be the light. Let your light so shine. Not burn, but shine. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. My friends, God helped you to realize that. I remember one time I was at the traveling, and I went to one of these lighthouses. We turned, got up where the light was, and there's that mighty beam going out across the sea. And the ships on the dark night should find the way into the harbor by that lighthouse. And there's a great beacon light that swirled out there. and a man started to touch the light. Somebody said, "Reckon that beam makes that bulb hot, that lamp hot?" They started to reach up and touch it to see if it is hot. The God snapped his hand and said, "How dare you? Don't touch that." He said, "Why?" He said, "You might leave a spot on that light." Said, "My hand's clean." Said, "Yeah, but one speck the size of a pinhead from your finger. Way out, many miles out, will leave such a dark place that some seaman will lose his way in and wreck." The lens must be kept clean. Some little speck in your life, let some poor seaman wreck out yonder. Your weakness for reading pornography books and filthy sexy magazines, and your Bible lying on the table with dust accumulating and spider webs being spun on, will put your light out. But some folks wear the backs off of their magazines or reading them and looking at them and never open the Bible and pray with their young ones. A lot of time your young ones hear you fuss and cuss, but do they hear you pray? What about it? Let your light so shine. Put it up there where everybody can see it. Don't hide it. My friends, man is trying to teach his daughter not to read filthy literature. She said, "Daddy, a little bit ain't going to hurt me." She couldn't see it. One night she's dressed for a social affair that she's to be a part of, and had on her finest clothes and had her hands cleaned and nice and fixed. Nails all fixed, and he come in and dropped a piece of coal on the floor, purposely, of course. And he said, "Honey," and he carried the rest of the coal to the grate and said, "Honey, pick up that piece of coal for me." "No, Daddy, please don't ask me to do it." Said, "Well, honey, it ain't gonna hurt you. Pick it up for me." Said, "Oh, but Daddy, I'm ready to go to the social." And said, "Daddy, if I pick that up, a black spot will get on my finger." Said, "Oh, it won't be much. Just a little speck. Just barely touch it and get it to me." She said, "Oh, but Daddy, it'll leave a black spot on my finger." Then she turned and said, "Daddy, forgive me. I see what you're talking about. The handling of these filthy literature, old magazines and things. I see now. It leaves a black spot in my life. I'm sorry, Daddy." Oh! How's the world gonna see Christ in folks reading dirty books and dirty magazines? And on we could go. Not necessary to go farther. But my friend, you can see what I'm talking to you about. You're the light. Let your light so shine that they may see God. Glorify your Father which is in heaven. What's your weakness? What's smoking up the globe of your soul? Well, God said, "Let your light shine." He didn't say, "Let it smoke up." He didn't say, "Let it burn." He said, "Let it shine that they may see." Give you an illustration. Up in Tennessee, there's a place called Little Hatchet River. One of the best fishing places I've ever been to in my life. Spring of the year, you can go in there and put hooks on poles or tie them on limbs and put out 50 or 60 hooks and get all the channel catch you can carry out. And I've caught as high as 100 pounds there tonight. And all the sport I can't think about is fishing. I love to fish. And so, I got a One afternoon, often I said, I'm going fishing. I got me up some bait and got my hooks. And I went down and began to stick the hooks in the banks with bait on. And I went on down, and there's a lot of thicket, forest, woods, and vines, and cane brakes. And by the time I got those hooks out, the fish had begun to get on the hooks. And I went and began to take the fish off and string them. And I'd look down the creek and there'd be another. And I'd run down there and get it off. And before I knew it, dark came. And it's kind of a misty, dark, foggy night. And I got so excited getting fish off the hook, I forgot to take any light and I didn't have any matches. And I got lost in the cane brake and the vines and the thicket. And I couldn't find my way out. But in that bottom was panthers, bobcats, and cottonmouth and rattlesnakes. And I could feel myself stepping on one of them rattlesnakes, or stepping on one of those cottonmouths. And nobody could find me, and I'd be dead from it. I could almost feel one of those panthers jumping out on me. And every little move, I'd think a bobcat or something. I was scared to death. And I said, I've got to get out of here. And I started out, and I got turned around and got in the worst thicket. More vines, more briars, more cane brakes. And I scared nearly to death in there. So dark you couldn't see your hand. Front of me. After a while, I saw a light in a farmhouse. I said, boy, I'll get up there and find a way. So I got all them barbs, canes, and bushes pushed back. So I got outside of that thicket. They pulled the shade down and went to bed. I said, I'll just keep going right that way. But I wound up in the thicket deeper. And I hunted and peeped, and that's while I saw another light. I said, oh boy, I'll find a way up at that house, and then I'll find a way down the road to my car, and I'll get my flashlight. But before I got out of the thicket, they blew their light out and went to bed. There I was. And finally, I saw another light. And I got out of the thicket, pretty well out of the thicket, and started up through a pasture. And it's so dark you couldn't see a tree in front of me. And I thought, now if they blow that light out, I'm not going to turn to the right or left. I'm going to keep my eyes right where that light is. And I'll get there and know the Lord out. And sure enough, they put the light out, put a little shade down. And I said, I'm turning neither right nor left. I'm going to go straight. I'm not going to turn my head 1 degree. And here I go. But got about a quarter of a mile up through there, and I never thought about a big old gully. Come on, and I went to the bottom of the ditch. And I thought, oh. But I fell to the ditch and I said, here's where I slid in at. I can feel the ground slicker there than it is in worry. So that's where I slid down that thing. So I'll just go across on the other side. But I turned a flip when I went in there and I wound up going back into the thicket. All night long I feared the lion, the bobcats and the panthers and the snakes. I was horrified, terrified. I couldn't find another light. I had to stay in there till daybreak. I've never gone another fishing without a light hung on me. Oh, listen. There's a menial soul that was fearful of hell and fearful of the demons and wreckage of sin, looked at your life. Just before they found the way, you pulled the shade with some shady way of life. and it left him in the dark. You said something. You told something that blowed the light out. I remember a young man who was trying to reach for Christ. Very influential young man in North Mississippi. And I was doing my best to reach him. And he said, Cecil Harrison, he's a great Christian. I see more Christ in him than I do preachers. And I said, oh, maybe I can win him. A few days I saw him. When I met him, he went to crying. I said, what's the matter? He said, you know, that boy that I had so much confidence in, I caught him drinking beer today. And I can't see God in that person, Ray. He said, Mr. Ray, that's the only Christian I knew. I don't know no other. And he's killed all the confidence I had in him. What am I going to do? Oh, men and women, boys and girls, the world's lost. They're in the dark. They're afraid of hell and the demons and the devils. They're looking for a light. Jesus said, let it shine. Let it shine. Why? That they may see the way home and find God.